Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
I'd like to start out by telling you a story about a very good pet owner in Minnesota. He apparently had a dog that was pretty amazing and did some incredible things, and he wanted to show the dog off to his friend, and so he invited him to go duck hunting. So the two went duck hunting, and there they were, and the ducks came over. They shot a duck, and the dog jumped out from the shore behind the blind and walked on the water, plucked the duck out of the water, and came back. And the pet owner was so proud, he thought his friend was going to say something about how amazing his dog was, and his friend just went, He grunted. Sure enough, some more ducks came over. They shot another duck, and that dog jumped out, walked on top of the water, and plucked the duck, brought it back. And the owner was so proud, he was just so amazed, he couldn't contain himself anymore. Didn't you notice anything special about my dog? And his friend just grunted and said, Yeah, he can't swim, can he? To see the best and to proclaim the worst. I mean, that friend could have said, What are you, blind? And he would have been right. Now you might say, Pastor Dreyer, that could never happen. Somebody to see a miracle like a dog walk on water and say something so simple like he can't swim. Well, about 2,000 years ago, something like that actually happened. Jesus performed a miracle, something that has never happened before in the history of the world. There was a man born blind. Jesus spit on the ground and his eyes were healed after he went and washed in the pool of Siloam. And that the Pharisees saw that. They saw all the evidence, okay? And this is what the Pharisees said. He can't keep the Sabbath, can he? They saw a miracle and they thought the worst of Jesus. He's just a sinner. He can't keep the Sabbath. Today, I'm going to share with you the words and the thoughts of Jesus as he tries to open the eyes of people. Just like in that story about the pet. You realize there are good pet owners and there are bad pet owners. How many of you have ever owned a pet of any sort? Pet? Oh, wow, that's about most of you. And you realize there are good pet owners who love their pet or pets, take care of them, make sure they have their shots or whatever they need to be comfortable. I've even heard of, maybe you've heard of, a doghouse with air conditioning. Maybe you've seen those pet owners who take their pets wherever they go, whether it's the grocery store, Lowe's, or Home Depot. Yeah, because they love their pets and they put these cute little outfits on those poor pets, okay? But it's their love for that pet. And some pet owners will go to the extreme. If their pet falls through the ice, they'll go out there and try to save their pet. They will lay down their life for their pets because they have that much love. And at the same time, there are bad, really bad pet owners who don't care much about their pet at all. Maybe you know somebody who's a bad pet owner. They lock them up, put a chain on them, let them go. Maybe you've seen those commercials on television where there's this dog freezing in the snow with a big chain on. It tugs at your heart. Maybe you've seen those news reports about maybe finding horses penned up, no food or water, or dogs or cats penned up, no food or water. And we don't even want to call them pet owners. We want to yell out, no good for nothing scum, you know, and it goes on. Because they don't even deserve to be called a pet owner because they're such terrible people. And we see it through the way they keep their animals. Maybe you've heard of even people stealing dogs or stealing pets. You know, they don't care about the pet. They only care about themselves. They don't care about the family who loses that pet or the child who may lose their dog. They just want the dog to show off and say, yeah, yeah. It's pure selfishness. See, we understand that today because for most of us, the vast majority, we either have a dog or maybe a cat. And if you have a cat, well, okay, I have a dog. Okay, his name is Ollie. Okay, and I love him dearly. I try to be his best pet owner I can. Now, if you understand that today, you can understand some 2,000 years ago, really the most common pets around or animals around that people really dealt with day in and day out was sheep. And just like good pet owners and bad, there are good sheep shepherds, sheep herders, and there were bad. Now, a good shepherd would know his sheep. He would take care of them. He would do what's best for them. And if they were in danger, protect them. But one thing about a good shepherd is that he knows his sheep and the sheep know him via the voice. No different than your dog. I mean, cats really aren't this way, sorry, but dogs, they know your voice. And when you call them, they come. A cat just looks at you like, you're kidding. Okay? Ollie, my dog, has a brother named Bear. And when I say Ollie, Ollie jumps up. Bear just, he continues to sleep. If I whistle, Ollie jumps. He knows my whistle. Bear just kind of quit waking me up. But now Bear's master, my son-in-law, the minute he speaks or has a certain whistle with his teeth, that dog jumps up. They know each other's voice, okay? And they have that knowledge. Well, a good shepherd literally knows his sheep and names them. Years ago, sheep would be named. And when they'd hear the master's voice or the shepherd's voice, their ears were tuned to that. Okay? No different than, how would you know the difference between your dogs in a doggy park? Let's say there's 30 dogs. How are you ever going to find your dog? Well, you know your dog, you see him, and the minute you say his name, he's going to come. Well, that can also be applied to sheep. There are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. A good shepherd leads the sheep, calls them by name and the voice. No, a bad shepherd, he drives the sheep. He uses his staff and his rod to force the sheep to do things. Well, one of the things that is so important to understand 2,000 years ago about sheep is the different sheep pens. Now, today, it's not that important, but 2,000 years ago, when Jesus is explaining to people, when he calls them sheep, yeah, people are called sheep. Now, if I called you a bunch of sheep, you might not take that as a compliment. But I'm here to tell you, you should. Now, if I call you just a bunch of sheep, you might take that as a cut, but I want you to take it as King David does. King David is very proud to be called a sheep. In fact, he's so proud, he wrote the 23rd Psalm and said, "The Lord is my shepherd," meaning I'm a sheep. And I don't want for anything. It is he who makes me lie down in green pastures. It is he who leads me besides quiet waters. Yeah, if I call you a sheep, you should be proud of that because you have a shepherd who loves you and cares for you. In fact, I want you to kind of get it, so I want you to turn to somebody next to you and say, you're a little sheepish today. Yeah. Bad. Yeah, I like that, Ursula. Oh, that was bad. Okay, well, two types of pens, not D-pens, fences, enclosures, okay, 2,000 years ago. Now, the first would be in a village. It would be rather tall walls with a gate, and it'd be a very big enclosure. Why? Because it would accommodate all the shepherds' sheep. So the shepherds would come in from the field, maybe to meet up with their children and their wife, have a hot meal, and they'd bring their sheep and unload them in a communal fence or pen. And other sheep shepherds would come in, and all these sheep would be together, kind of like a doggy park. Okay, and there'd be a gate that would be closed, and then the shepherds would hire a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper would keep the sheep while the shepherds go home. And then in the morning, the shepherd would come, and how do you distinguish all those sheep? The voice. They'd hear his voice. They'd perk up. The gatekeeper would recognize the shepherd and open up the door. The shepherd would call the sheep, and they would come out, and he'd lead them to the field or to the pasture. Now, the second type of enclosure or pen, Jesus speaks about both of these, so it's very important to distinguish them, is a pen or an enclosure out in the field. It'd be much smaller, and it'd accommodate just his sheep. It'd probably be just some stones put together in some kind of round or squared off enclosure, and there would be no door. And at night, if he couldn't make it back into town, they'd be out in the field. He'd put the sheep into this little enclosure, and then the opening, it is the shepherd who'd become the door. He would lay down in between the opening, and no sheep were going to get out, and no coyote, no wolf was going to get in over unless over his dead body. Ever heard that phrase before? Yeah. So the shepherd literally became the door for the sheep. Now, in the first six verses of chapter 10, it is Jesus who speaks about the first enclosure. And beginning with verse 7, he speaks about the second enclosure. And next week, it's Dr. Spomer who's going to be speaking to you about that. But I want to cover what Jesus says about the very first enclosure or pen. But to do that, I have to be a little profound with you this morning, okay? Chapter 10 of John is directly related to chapter 9. I know that's kind of profound for some of you, but what I need to do, just kidding, what I need to do is quickly explain to you what happened in chapter 9 so that when we read 10 together, verses 1 through 6, you'll be going, oh, I think I understand it a little better. Now, in chapter 9, Jesus performs a miracle. Spits on the ground. I know that's kind of gross. Rubs the mud in the guy's eyes and says, go cleanse yourself or wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. The guy's born blind. And so he listens to Jesus, goes to the pool and washes himself. Jesus is gone. And all of a sudden he can see. The only thing is he heard the voice of Jesus. And while everybody's talking about it, and the Pharisees hear about it, and they gather him together. What happened to you? He said, well, this guy named Jesus spit on the ground, put mud in my eyes. I went and washed, and now I can see. And they go, we know him to be a sinner. He's a sinner because he can't keep the Sabbath. He healed you on the Sabbath, so we know he's a sinner. What do you say about him now? And he said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I think he's a prophet. Oh, a prophet. Well, we don't believe you. Where are your parents? You know, when you get in trouble, everybody goes to the parents, okay? And they call the parents in, and they interrogate the parents. Was your son born blind, or is this a big fake thing? And they go, no, he's our son. He was born blind. Well, what happened to him? Well, ask him. He is of age. Okay? And of age, meaning he had his bar mitzvah, and he is of age. He can represent himself. And by the way, you know what bar mitzvah mean? Son of the commandment. A bat mitzvah is a daughter of the commandment. Remember Martin Luther, the three uses of the law? Okay, a mirror, see yourself, a guide that you follow, and then a curb, a fence. A Jewish boy, it came of age when the fence of the Ten Commandments kept him in and made him straight. We see that imagery. Okay, well, what happened to you? Well, he says to the, you know, the Pharisees who gather him together once again and interrogate him. He says, I already told you what happened to me. Jesus spit on the ground, put mud on my face, and now I can see. He says, what do you want to become his disciples? Oh, that made those Pharisees mad. Okay, he says, you are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. Another time they say, we are descendants of Abraham, so proud of their background. We are disciples of Moses. This guy, we know he is a sinner. He can't keep the Sabbath. And then the blind man who now sees uses plain reason. Remember Martin Luther? Unless I'm convinced by scripture or plain reason, I'm not going to recant. So this blind man, says, well, let's figure this out. You are Moses' disciples, right? But before Moses, from creation on, this has never happened in the history of the world, where somebody born blind is healed by someone. Now, we all know reason. God the Father doesn't listen to sinners. God the Father only listens to his own children, people who worship him. So there's no way this man could have done what he did unless God listened to him. And they're kind of going, okay. He said, so you don't know where he come from, and God listens to him. So, hey, he must be from God. And they look at him, and you, the chief of sinners, try to lecture and teach us. And you know what they do? They cast him out of the synagogue, which means they excommunicated him. He no longer could step foot in the temple grounds. Socially and economically, they tried to destroy him by casting him out. Now think about this guy who was blind and now he sees. Do you think he could care less if he was cast out of the synagogue? He could now see. So now he's like a lost sheep. He's no longer Jewish. They couldn't change him. They couldn't steal him from Jesus as a sheep and make him their own. So they cast him out. And guess what? In chapter 9, guess who goes looking for him? Jesus. And when he finds him, he says to him, do you believe in the Messiah, the one proclaimed in the Old Testament? And he answers Jesus. He's never seen Jesus. But he says, sir, show me the Messiah, and I'll believe. And Jesus says, the person you now see and hear who's speaking to you is he. And he falls down, believes, and worships Jesus. Wow, so dramatic. And Jesus says to him, this is why I've come, so that the blind may see. And those who are blind spiritually, those who can see spiritually are blind. And the Pharisees hear, are you speaking about us? And Jesus said, yes, I am. They saw the good. They saw a miracle. And they said, he's a sinner. They were blind. And then Immediately, Jesus says something. That's chapter 10. It's not like a month later, 2 weeks later, a day later. Jesus said these words. Let's look at them together. Let's look at them together. Chapter 10, verse 1. When Jesus repeats himself, he's trying to make a point. Jesus is using the language of the day. Now, it is believed Jesus is Solomon's portico. That's in the temple. And just imagine behind him is a gate called the Sheep's Gate. All around are sheep at the Sheep's Gate, a lot of shepherds. There is a sheep gate today if you go to the Temple Mount. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Somebody who steals another person's pet. Whew, we may have choice words for that person. Well, somebody who doesn't use the front door is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. What Jesus is explaining here is I came through the right door, the front door. I didn't climb over. I'm coming through the front door, meaning I come as the Messiah the right way, through the prophets. I am the one who comes from the line of David. I am the one who the prophets spoke about. I am Jewish. I am coming to my own through the front door, the right way. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, now notice this, to him, the gatekeeper. Jesus is not the gatekeeper. He's the good shepherd. In verse 7, he is now the door. But here, he comes to the gatekeeper, and the gatekeeper says, oh yeah, you put me in charge of these sheep. I recognize you as our shepherd. Come and get your sheep. Who are the gatekeepers? Or who is the gatekeeper? Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah. The gatekeepers are the prophets of old who proclaim. They recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And Jesus recognized them as the gatekeeper, you might say. This is, yes, figurative language, but Jesus explains that in a little bit. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Notice this, calls them by name. A good shepherd knows his sheep and calls them by name. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I don't know if you've heard about the big court case in Australia, but there were two shepherds, one good and one bad, and they both claimed a flock of sheep. And they went to court, and they had all the witnesses, plaintiff and defendant, and nobody could decide whose sheep they were. How would you decide that? So the judge called upon the final witnesses, the sheep themselves. This actually happened. And he brought some of the sheep into the courtroom, put them up front, and he told the two shepherds, go to the back door and call your sheep. One shepherd stood up and called the sheep. They didn't move. The second shepherd raised his voice, and the sheep perked up, and he called them by name. And they came running to him. Case closed. Sheep know a good shepherd's voice. And he calls them by name. And he goes before the sheep. Remember, Jesus would say to the disciples, follow me, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. This, now notice this, this figure of speech, Jesus is explaining, this is figure of speech. This is something we know every day in our lives. It should mean something to you. I'm explaining myself. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. They were still spiritually blind. Now notice verse 7, and this is where Dr. Spomer is going to begin next week. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. That's that second type of pen. In the first 6 verses, the first pen, first enclosure inside a village. Listen, folks. Earlier I called you sheepish. I called you a bunch of sheep. Sheep who are loved by a good shepherd, know his voice. And a shepherd knows the sheep by name. The day you were baptized, God knew your name. He called you his own child. As a shepherd knows the sheep, God knows you, and you should know his voice. Do you hear his voice? Now, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we're told. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, have gone our own way. But this is what we're told. On him was the iniquity of us all placed. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear the shepherd's voice? I am with you always to the end of the age. Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given unto you. Do you hear the shepherd's voice? This is my body. This is my blood given for you. Do you hear the shepherd's voice? I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And if he lives and believes me, he will never die. Do you believe this? Do you hear the shepherd's voice? Do you believe in the Messiah? Do you hear the shepherd's voice? Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there's many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back to take you to be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Do you hear the shepherd's voice? Now, last night when I was finished with my message and I was packing up after a big meal, potluck, I had my staff, my Bible, my little sheep, my rod, and I had some extra food that was given to me, and I was headed out the door. And as I was heading out the door, Ginger, one of our young gals who sings and plays, said, thank you for that message, Pastor. I really enjoyed it. Oh, thank you, Ginger. You want to hear what I got out of your message? What did you get out of my message, Ginger? I got out of your message that when I sing, people hear the voice of Jesus. Exactly. Profound. When a pastor preaches, people hear the voice of Jesus. When scripture is read, people hear the voice of Jesus. When a Sunday school teacher teaches, people hear the voice of Jesus. When a VBS volunteer shares scripture, talks about Jesus. People hear the voice of Jesus. When you invite somebody to church, they may hear the voice of Jesus. When you talk about your Lord and Savior at work, at home, with your children, your grandchildren, they hear the voice of Jesus. Amen. We hear His voice. We know His voice. Turn to somebody and say, "You're looking a little sheepish today." Respond by saying, "And I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it because I know the voice of the Good Shepherd." And here's the good news. He'll speak through you to others. Amen. Amen.